Blog Talk Radio. All right. My name is Johnson Ari. I, along with Brother Cottrell of New York City, is here to help show you what movement of Yah's people is. It is not dictated by any of the ones I would understand. That movement of Yah's people is dictated by Yah, meaning let his word be your footsteps and have an understanding of his word. And certainly we're here to help you in these studies today, which we like to consider family night. And that being said, before we get into our studies, I'd like to give praise and thanksgiving to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. I pray that the Most High bless the listeners, that they understand his word and they cling to his word and his word alone. Also, I'd like to thank the Most High for everything I have, everything I'm beginning. I'd like to thank him for the prospect of restoring my soul for his namesake. I'd like to thank the Most High for restoring my health for his namesake. And I will give praise to him in the great assembly in that regard. I'd like to thank the Most High for everything, every aspect of my life. Am I totally satisfied? No, I'm not. But I'm content at this moment as I work on myself, as we all should be doing. We're so focused on everybody else, we can't focus on ourselves. As part of the dilemma, we find ourselves. And as a result, we hate one another. We're quick to indict one another. We're quick to insult one another. What the Most High says in this regard, these people are precious to me. They are my people, not your people. And that's the wonderful thing about King David, bless his holy name. He knew those people, us, wasn't his. He knew he bared ownership for his responsibility. He knew that the people bear responsibility for their actions and so on and so forth. And what we fail to realize in this modern day Western Hemisphere, that we have been socially engineered and that we have been restructed not to see each other as blood and bone, as those that made King David, anointed him the king over all the nation, accepting that acknowledgement. We like to think we're better than someone. We like to look down our nose at others. And that's part of our dilemma. I'm not saying that you shouldn't correct anyone. But what I'm saying is, we should work on ourselves, and that's true. Make sure we are in alignment with the Most High word, not your opinion, not your thoughts, not leaning to one's own understanding, but leaning to Yah's understanding, because he have codifications in regard for us, in regards to us, and certainly in regard to him. I'd like to thank the Most High for the Real Talk for Real People show, for students who are dedicated to him, and him alone. I'd like to thank the Most High for Brother Cottrell, who share in these studies and his love for the Most High and his love for King David. I'd like to thank the Most High for every iota of my life and that I cling to him and him alone. And I strongly suggest and advise you to do the very same thing. But that being said, before I bring Brother Cottrell on to give his thanks to the Most High, I'd like to make mention of the fact that I will be studying in the first segment of study in 2 Samuel, chapter 6. And Cottrell will be studying in this last segment of study. Some of you call it Isaiah, but it's actually Yeshayahu, chapter 37. Isaiah assured deliverance. Yeshayahu assures deliverance. Deliverance from who? The enemies of Yah. And sometimes they turn out to be yours also. So in that regard, I'm studying 2 Samuel, chapter 6. The ark is being brought to Jerusalem. We're going to see some shortcomings on some of our brothers and sisters where they be presumptuous in their actions and it costs them. And you'll see some good things even happen to people of different nations in Yah's regard. And case in point, Obed-Edom. Obviously, by the middle name, he must have been an Edomite, the Gittite. Well, no. Obed-Edom obviously was from the region of Edom, and he was a Gittite. We'll find that out later on. We'll find out about Uzzah, who was presumptuous in his actions. He thought he was helping Yah. You can't help Yah. You do what you're told according to Yah's word, and no more and no less. So without further ado, let me bring Brother Cartrell. Brother Cartrell, may the Most High bless you. Brother, your mic is hot. Shalom.
Bless Yah, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Giving thanks and praise to the Holy One of Yisrael for all things and everything, for life, hope, and strength, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, food, shelter, and clothing. Thanking him for all things and everything. Shalom, Brother Yamsuk, Sister Abiyah, Sister Nisanya, all the family that's out there. Shalom, may the Most High bless y'all. How y'all doing?
We're doing okay, brother. May the Most High bless you and your family. Sister Nisanya says shalom to the family.
All praise. It's good to give thanks to the Most High for the life, the gift of life that he's given us. With all his trials and tribulations, with all his ups and downs, I'm just glad he gave me birth in the body of an Israelite and the struggles that we have and the clear vision he's provided us with and leaving his word on record so that we could find him. I definitely give thanks to him for that. All praises.
Praise all praises. Thank you, Brother Cartrell. Good to share these study sessions with you. And if we may, if Brother Cartrell is done, we will turn to the first segment of study in 2 Samuel, chapter 6. The ark is being brought to Jerusalem. Again, King David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And King David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Yehuda to bring up from there the ark of Yah, whose name is called by the name the Lord, the Elohim of hosts, who dwells between the cherubims, the mercy seat. So they set the ark of Yah on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahino, the sons, now these were the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of Yah. And Ahoa, his brother, went before the ark. Then King David and all the hosts of Israel played music, because they were happy, before Yah on all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, on harps, on string instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And it came to Nashon's threshing floor. Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of Yah and took hold of it. That was beyond his codification. For the oxen stumbled, that's why he did that. He thought he was helping Yah out. Yah don't need your help. Then the anger of Yah was aroused against Uzzah because of what he did. And Yah struck him there for his error. And he died there by the ark of Yah. And King David became angry. Why? Because of Yah's outbreak against Uzzah. That was his call. And he called the name, as a result of his anger, Perez Uzzah to this day. Still, he didn't verbally say it. He was angry. He was personally angry. But he didn't say anything verbally. He was out of place. That's Yah's prerogative. King David was and the reason why he didn't say it, you want to know the reason why? A lot of us don't have this in us. King David was afraid of Yah. And he said, how can the ark of Yah come to me? So King David would not move the ark of Yah with him into the city of King David, Jerusalem, to be specific. But King David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, a stranger, one of a different nation. Yah loves everybody, truth be told. He sees us specifically as chosen people, but he loves everyone. The Ark of Yah remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And as a result of this, and Yah blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household as a result of this. Now it was told King Dawid, saying, Yah has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to the Gittite. It belongs to him. Why? Because of the ark of Yah. He was residing in his home. So King Dawid, hearing this information, went out and bought up the ark of Yah from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of King Dawid, Jerusalem. And he brought it up with gladness. And so it was, when those bearing the ark of Yah had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatted and fatted sheep. Then King Dawid, now Michael got his wife, his first wife, she's got animosity against him. And she's used any means necessary to belittle him. She's trying to insult him. The reason why, because she was bought from her husband, given to another man, so she's got personal anger. But she thinks she's cursing the king. But in actuality, she's cursing herself because she's got personal animosity. It's going to cost her. Then King Dawid danced before Yah. He humbled himself. And he danced with all his might. He put it all out there. He left it all out there in the den before the Elohim. And King Dawid was wearing a linen ephod. It's something quite sheer. So King Dawid and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of Yah with shouting with the sound of trumpet. Now the Ark of Yah came into the city of King Dawid, Jerusalem, to be more specific. Now, like I said, Michael, King Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw King Dawid leaping and whirling before the Elohim. And she despised him in her heart. It didn't have anything to do with her. She had personal vendetta against the king. And not only that, she tried to belittle him before his own household. You'll see. But it didn't cost the king. He caused her because he said, I'm going to stick with Yah, whatever, whatever. And if I got to dance like I'm dancing, I'm going to do that and more before the Elohim. I ain't got no problem with what they say about me as far as my love for the Elohim. I ain't got no problem. Okay? Now, if I got to humble myself before the whole nation, I'm good with that because I'm going to do what I do. As far as the Elohim is concerned, here's what he says specifically in that regard. Michael, King Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King Dawid leaping and whirling before the Elohim, and she despised him in her heart. Y'all knew this. So they brought the ark of Yah and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle. They built a temporary tabernacle for it to reside in the city of Jerusalem that King Dawid had erected for it. Now, King Dawid's, as a result, continuum is to continue ever to please Yah, offer burnt offering, peace offering before the Elohim. And when King Dawid had finished offering burnt offering and peace offering, he showed some love to the people. He didn't say, I'm king, I'm better than everybody. He blessed the people in the name of who? In his own name? No, he was humble before the Elohim. Reason why he did, he blessed him in the name of Yah, of hosts. Then, as a result, he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and the men. He saw them as equals, but different positions. To everyone, he gave a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. He didn't discriminate. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Now King Dawid returned to bless it. He wanted to show some love to his own house, but he had bitterness up in the house by way of Micah, because she had anger against the king anyway. She was looking for any excuse to belittle the brother. And here's what she did. And Micah, the daughter of King Saul, came out to meet King Dawid and said, how glorious was the king of Israel being snide? How glorious was the king of Israel today? Uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servant as one of the base fellow, low down fellow, shamelessly uncovering himself. She tried to put salt on the brother. The brother showing love to Yah, but she had animosity against the brother. and she tried to debase him and his character before his own household. So King David said to Michael, it was before Yah who chose me instead of your father and all of his house to appoint me ruler. I did it for the right reason, over the people of the Elohim, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before Yah. I ain't talking about, think about what you're talking about. Because I'm humble before the Elohim. And if I got to go in an undignified manner before Yah, I'm good with it. And that's how you looking at this. And I will be even more undignified than this. So you think this undignified. And will be humble in my own sight, not in yours. But as far as the maid service of which you have spoken by them, I will be held in honor. See, the way you're looking at it, because your jaundiced eyes, you can't see what those women are seeing. You just see dirt. You trying to dirty me up. He said, but they ain't looking at it like this. They got love for Yah, and they got love for me. I'm humble before Yah. I'm acting in an undignified, unkingly manner, as you want to see through your eyes. But they seen it from a different perspective, because he clung to Yah. And he says, and here's what happened as a result of a slightness and disrespect. Therefore, Michael, the daughter of King Saul, had no children. Yah cursed her to the day of her death. That's consequence and action when you talk about our king. When you try to belittle him, you end up being belittled. And any person that Yah brings up into some prominence for whatever reason, it ain't for you or me and nobody else to tear that individual down. That's up to Yah. That's up to Yah to make the decision. And like he told Michael, you don't see this. I don't care what you see. He didn't try to excuse it. You see what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? He didn't try to excuse himself. Because why? He loved Yah, and he was humble before Yah. Acted in an undignified manner, not to people please, but he acted in an undignified manner, as she so called it, because he wanted to connect Yah, himself, the king, and the people all together. He wanted to connect Yah, the people, and the king all together. We're all on the same page. We all humble ourselves before Yah. That's why I'm doing this. And you trying to say them women looking at me in an undignified manner. That's the way you see it. But it ain't the way Yah see it. Why? Because he clung to Yah. He didn't clung to Michael. And as a result of her snideness, she paid the consequences. She reaped what she sowed. She put it out there in the ether, tried to belittle the king and his own household. And he cared less what she was thinking about. He's still the king at the end of the day. He said, "Yo, Elohim chose me over your daddy. You out here trying to be salty with me. And what I got to do before the Elohim, I'm going to do. And if you're looking at it from a different perspective, that's on you." And because she put those words in the ethos, they came back to haunt her. So people best be careful of the words they put into the ethos, because surely they will come back to haunt you, and you will reap what you sow. It ain't no game, people. It's something serious. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Brother Cartrell, brother, you have the mic.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, even the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and showing the nature of our people. Michael should have been joining in on the celebration, right?
Right.
But she seemed to have had a problem. Maybe because she was angry because her family wasn't the royal family anymore.
Exactly.
I don't know what her problem was, but
right.
You definitely got to watch what you say. And she couldn't
right.
take back her words. It was too late. She already said it. She pissed King David off, and he
mm-hmm.
put her away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he had relationships with her after that point
mm-hmm.
in time.
Exactly.
What I find amazing is that the second time around that they brought the ark back, that every six steps, they made an offering of a bull.
Exactly. Exactly.
That must have been a long journey.
It was a long journey, brother. A long journey. Mm-hmm.
but it showed King David's dedication to the Most High. He was fully dedicated, completely dedicated to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he didn't mind embarrassing himself in celebration of the victory that the Most High gave him.
So exactly.
Michael wanted him to act like a dignified king, and King David said, nah, I'm an Israelite. I'm a party like it's 1999.
Exactly. He was enjoying himself.
Oh, yeah. As he should have.
Right.
The Most High didn't have a problem with it.
No.
All praises.
All praises. Thank you very much, Brother Cadre. Thank you very much, fellow students, for listening in. But Brother Cadre is back to proceed on to the last segment of study in Yeshayahu, chapter 37. Some of you call it Isaiah. That is not his correct name. It's Yeshayahu, chapter 37. Yeshayahu assures deliverance. Let's see what that deliverance looked like. Brother Cadre, you have the mic.
Once again, giving praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for even creating the great prophet, Yeshayahu. Yah is salvation. And he was the voice of confidence for our king, King Hezekiah, who was under duress because he thought that the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, was about to take over the land of Yehuda.
Exactly.
So as soon as King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes. What did he hear? Yesterday we heard the message from, what was the guy's name?
Rav Shake.
I think that was the title. Rav Shake came with all that huff and puff and threats, and King Hezekiah is in duress, so he tears his clothes and covers himself with sackcloth and went into the house of Yah, which is what he's supposed to do. That's what King David would have did, right?
Exactly.
And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna, the secretary, and the senior priest, covered with sackcloth, and the prophet, to the prophet Isaiah Yeshayahu, the son of Amoz. They said to him, thus saith King Hezekiah, this day is the day of distress, of rebuke, and of disgrace. Children have come to the point of birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that Yah Elohim will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to mock the living Elohim, and will rebuke the words that Yah Elohim has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. When the servants of King Hezekiah came to Yeshayahu, Yeshayahu said to them, say to your master, thus saith Yah, do not be afraid because of the word that you've heard, with which the young men of the king of Assyria have reviled me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him, so he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own land. The Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria fighting against Libna, for he had heard that the king had left Lachish. Now the king heard concerning Tirhaka is a famous king. Tirhaka, king of Cush. He has set out to fight against you. And when he heard it, he sent messages to King Hezekiah, saying, thus shall you speak to King Hezekiah, king of Judah. Do not let your Elohim, in whom you trust, deceive you by promising that Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard that the king of Assyria, what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands, devoting them to destruction. And how? And shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them? The nations that my fathers destroyed? Gozan, Haran, Riza, and the people of Eden, who were in Telassar. Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Safarbayim, and the king of Hena, or the king of Eva, King Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messenger and read it. And King Hezekiah went up to the house of Yah and spread it before Yah. And King Hezekiah prayed to Yah, O Yah of hosts, Elohim of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the Elohim, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Yah, and hear. Open your eyes, O Yah, and speak. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living Elohim. Truly, O Yah, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the works of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they were destroyed. So now, O Yah, our Elohim, save us from his hand, that all the kings of the earth may know that you alone are Yah. Then Yeshayahu, the son of Amoz, sent to King Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith Yah, the Elohim of Israel, because you have prayed to me concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word that Yah spoke concerning him. She despises you. She scorns you, the virgin daughter of Zion. She wags her head behind you, the daughter of Jerusalem. Whom have you mocked and reviled? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes to the heights? Against the Holy One of Israel? By your servants you have mocked Yah, and you have said, with my many chariots I have gone up to the heights of the mountain, to the far recesses of Lebanon, to cut down its tallest cedars, the choicest cypress, to come to its remotest heights, its most beautiful forests. I dug wells and drank waters to dry up with the sole of my foot all the streams of Mizraim. Have you not heard that I determined it long ago? I planned it from days of old. What now I bring to pass that you should make fortified cities, crashed into heaps of ruin, while the inhabitants, shorn of strength, are dismayed and confounded, and have become like plants of the field, and like the tender grass, like grass on the housetops, blighted before it is grown. I know you're sitting down, and you're going out, and you're coming in, and you're raging against me, because you have raged against me, and your conspiracy, complacency, has come to my ears. I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth, and I will turn you back on the way by which you came. Now, you know that Assyrians were famous for putting hooks in people's mouths and putting hooks in people's noses and jaws and blinding them.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've done, Yah said, is going to happen to them. And this shall be for a sign for you. This year, you shall eat what grows of itself, and in the second year, what springs from that. Then in the third year, sow and reap and plant vineyards and eat their fruit. And the surviving remnant of the house of Yehuda shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant out of Mount Zion, a band of survivors. The zeal of Yah hosts will do this. Thus saith Yah concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, or come before it with a shield, or cast up a single mound against it by the way that he came. By the same he shall return. He shall not come into this city, declares Yah, for I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake and for the sake of my servant King David. And the angel of Yah went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. When the people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. Then Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived in Nineveh. And as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, Adramelech and Sherezeh, his son, struck him down with the sword. And after they escaped into the land of Ararat, Esrahadon, his son, reigned in his place. All praise to the Holy One of Israel.
All praise.
It's not good to mess with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, nor to taunt him, nor to rebuke him, much less to challenge him, which Sennacherib did. and he paid the price for challenging the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Most High sent out an angel to strike down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. That must have been amazing to them.
Yes. It certainly was, I suspect, Brother Cartrell. And one thing that we fail to remind the people, here's the thing, King Hezekiah, as in Yeshayahu, they didn't seek brother, sister, or mother, or any other. They sought Yah, and Yah provided a revenue, the word I'm looking for, an escape from this king. And as a matter of fact, this king, what he was trying to do to King Hezekiah and our people, he reaped what he sowed. His own children killed him. And they escaped, and one of his sons ended up residing as king behind him. So don't rely on people. They can't do nothing for you. They listen to your business, but they can provide a solution for you. Don't call Yom Su. Don't call Brother Cartier. I can't do nothing for you. But the Most High can do everything for you. Now, if that's what you're relying on, you can take it to the bank. But if you're relying on everybody else, you're going to reap what you sow. That's the end result of your scheme. Shinnakris. And then a crab, whatever you want to call it. Praise y'all, Brother Cartier. Praise y'all. Brother Cartier.
Yes, sir.
Brother, you have any closing remarks and comments?
These people you can look up, you can research, you can find them outside the scriptures. Just Google Sennacherib. Google the battle at Lachish. And you can see that they put these battles on walls. They call them reliefs. But you can see they recorded this history in their artwork. And you can see the artwork, how the ancient Israelites actually looked when they captured the children of Judah and took them back to Assyria. But we ask that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable before the Most High, as we try to share his word with the world, to our people, so that the world could be a better place, as the Most High intends. So we thank the Most High once again. We ask that he watch between us while we are asking one from another. And may you have a blessed weekend, because we love y'all. Shalom and good night.
As Brother Cartrell said, we love y'all. Shalom and good night. May the Most High bless each of you.
Then